This is the News and Talk of Nevada. Now, an encore Bosma on Business with award-winning entrepreneur Mike Bosma. Sponsored by Clifton Larson Allen CPAs. We're getting Northern Nevada back to business on News Talk 780 KOH and KKOH.com.
Good morning, Reno. It is Mike Bosma, the Business Savvy CPA, coming to you from the KOH studio. Yes, indeed, each and every Saturday morning, 10 to 11, we call it your business action-packed adventure. This week, no different. The only thing that is going to change just a skosh is we're going to fire up the phone lines and give our panel of experts the ability to weigh in on your issues and the genre that we're talking about. The sunny issue of divorce. Yes, indeed. The title for this week's show is Everything a Business Owner and Their Spouse Needs to Know About Divorce. And this is not going to be the, woe is me show, but it's the empowerment show. In fact, one of the things that I am learning in life as a lot of my friends and colleagues are going through the treacherous minefield of divorce is that many people are unaware of the issues when you own a business and divorce, what you can do, what you can't do, what matters, what doesn't matter. And so what I want people to be able to do at the end of this show is to be able to make informed decisions as they're talking about the greatest gift in their life, which is their spouse, and so and how that impacts business. I've seen some of the craziest things happen when people get their feelings hurt inside of a marriage relationship, and it blows up businesses. And so, of course, my loyal listeners know that I am passionate about business and relationships, so there is a way to be able to marry the two. In studio, my panel of experts include Gloria Petroni from Petroni Law Offices. Gloria, one of my best friends, an EO buddy. Welcome to Bosma on Business.
Welcome. Thank you.
Okay. And, of course, one of the things that always comes down to valuation as people are talking about getting divorced and splitting assets, Richard Teichner, who's a valuation expert and CPA. Richard, welcome.
Thank you.
So one of the things we want to do as we fire up this segment is, number one, let everybody know the phone lines are open, 852-8255. You know, we have a combined billing rate in this studio right now, about $1,000 an hour, and it's yours for the taking. Yes, $1,000 of guaranteed value if you listen to the whole show. And if you've got questions, you can remain anonymous. You could be a spouse. You can be a business owner. You can both be business owners. Then call in 852-8255, our long-distance listeners, and we know you're out there, 1-800-564-KKOH. Again, you want to stay tuned for the entire hour. You're going to have good content through the entire way. Okay, so first and foremost, I want to start our little chitty-chat off with a little business nightmares. Now, Gloria, you're an attorney that specializes in divorce matters or family law matters. What are some train wrecks that you've seen over your course of your career?
They come in so many different ways. I think the biggest thing that a business owner has to do is have good books and records.
Right. But, I mean, just factually.
Factually.
No, I mean, some situations where people just did it poorly? What's the worst business train wreck you've seen in the area of divorce?
Unreported business income.
Unreported business income, right. So
the business owner who's taking cash and is, you can never take cash without someone else knowing about it. Usually right. There's somebody in your front office or somewhere.
Right. So, Richard, I know you've been doing this for a while. Worst divorce situation you've seen?
Well, I don't know if I can talk about a worst one. There are, like Gloria says, there's so many of them that have this very contentious divorces. And what I see fairly often is where one spouse was not involved in the operation of the business. And so a lot of times that spouse will accuse the other spouse of hiding income.
Right, hiding income, hiding assets, right.
Right, hiding assets.
I know you're making more money than this.
Exactly.
Very common.
Exactly. So then the forensic accountant, such as myself, depends on who we're representing, will either try to defend that accusation or try to see if that is, in fact, what happened.
And so there's a lot of times, so I guess one of those things, as the listeners, you want to have a pen and paper handy. Take notes. This is going to be an information-laden show. But I'd say the first thing that you want to do is get an accurate tabulation or accounting of where things are at in the business, right? So you and there involves some, you know, as soon as, you know, you get into any type of litigation, in this case divorce, you're hiring experts to be able to come in and look at the books, scrub the books, and see if there's money that's missing or not, right?
Yes, and as Gloria mentioned, a lot of times the books and records are
a train wreck.
They have a lot to be desired, and then you have to try to look at the underlying documentation, try and reconstruct what went on. There's all kinds of forensic ways to try to do that, subpoena bank statements, subpoena other records. So it can become a major project and sometimes very expensive, and then we have to decide whether it's going to be cost beneficial to do all that.
Yeah, if there's enough fruit on the vine, so to speak, to justify the cost. Gloria Petroni, you know, as you look at the reasons why businesses break up, business owners break up with their spouse, how often, what's the prevalence of the business being in the way?
Well, if I have both spouses in the business, it's much more likely for the business to get in the way.
Right.
Because they argue over their direction of the business, management, control, salaries, bonuses.
Right. What we're trying to do is inspire healthy businesses, healthy relationships. Should you hire your spouse should you guys work together in the business? What do you think?
Some relationships can handle it and some can't. And it comes down to communication and expectations. And perhaps if they had a counselor or a business coach and they met regularly, but sometimes they get a third party in too late where feelings are hurt. And once there's feelings hurt,
once you
there's
lose trust,
resentment.
Right.
Then it's a downhill thing. And once you're viewing the other spouse negatively, then I'm thinking you're stealing, you're lying to me. Everything you're doing is directed towards ousting me.
So good takeaway. If you're going to do business with your spouse, get counseling, get therapy. Right? If you think about it, you're talking about the most intimate of all personal relationships, and then you're going to overlay business. And the reality is people have different opinions on it. And there's not necessarily right or wrong. But when you differ on some fundamental things in your business, you've got to be able to part ways without parting ways in the relationship.
And not take it home with you and continue the argument at home.
Right.
Yeah,
what do you think, Richard?
Well, first of all, when that happens, when both spouses are involved in the business, if they're both actively involved, then usually there's less of the accusations that go on when one's not involved at all.
Right, so less chance somebody's going to say you're hiding money because they're in the middle of it. They see where the money is
right,
when it comes in, right?
Right, and so if they split up, then in a divorce situation, then the question is, does one spouse take over the business? It's unlikely that both will continue to be active in the business because it's not going to work.
So very, very common. So let me just kind of throw out some common generalities that oftentimes is spewed about in the vitriol of divorce. And so that is, I just want to hear from our experts what their thoughts on it. Number one, that the non-business spouse ends up getting the short end of the stick. Is that fair or not fair?
That's not uncommon.
It depends.
That happens quite a bit. But a lot of times I've seen situations, I know Gloria has too, where they just want to split. They want to make it as friendly as possible. And the spouse that's active in the business concede to generally what the other spouse is mm-hmm. alleging,
right.
Just to get the thing over with. I've seen that many times. But other times when it's really contentious, when there's one spouse cheated on the other, whatever, then there's the issue of revenge. And a lot of times that involves a lot of contentiousness and attorney fees and expert fees and everything else.
Right, because it's not no more a split of marital assets. It's now, yeah, revenge. And so we're just trying to exact as much pain as humanly possible.
Right. Especially if the affair involved an employee at the business, then it's red hot craziness.
Yeah, well, we try and do, Gloria and other family law attorneys and the forensic accountants, we try to help mitigate the cost, the idea is not to use up the whole marital estate in legal fees and expert fees.
Divide, right?
Yeah,
right.
Otherwise there's nothing left, and that happens often, unfortunately. And there's not too much that can be done about that.
Yeah, the attorneys and experts stop having opinions on how wrong everything is as soon as they don't get the retainer paid, and everything's fair. So,
one of the first issues I have to deal with a client is, do we engage a business evaluation expert as an independent and just use one, or do we get our own and the other side's going to get one?
Yeah.
That's a great question or a great statement, right? So you have to decide you're going to get experts. They can come in. They have to value the business. Now, businesses aren't like publicly traded companies. They're actually not even like real estate, where you can go out and kind of fairly easily determine the value of something. Businesses are fairly complex to value. You've got to, and in order to figure out how to split this relationship financially, you've got to figure out what everything is worth. And so, Richard, what's the process of determining what a business is worth?
Oh, boy.
in 15 seconds or less.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Okay, well, let's do this. When we come back, how to value the business and what you need to know so that, depending on which side of the equation you're on, you're getting it fair. It's the divorce show on Bosma Business. Newstalk 780 KOH. Welcome back to Bosma Business, your host, Mike Bosma. If you're thinking about getting into business and deciding, hey, my spouse could be the excellent bookkeeper, that seems how it always goes, or they can help me clerically, they can sit at the front desk, and they're quote-unquote free. One of the things we're talking about today is the interconnectivity between business and if you're going to have your spouse in it, and what that looks like if now you're going to try and pull it apart, and unfortunately, a lot of marriages end in divorce, and one of the things that I'm an advocate of is healthy businesses and healthy family relationships. I'm definitely a advocate and a proponent for the institution of marriage, but a fan of healthy marriages. And, I've seen a lot of toxic businesses and a lot of toxic relationships, and often the two go hand in hand. So in studio, we've got Richard Teichner, CPA valuation expert, and Gloria Petroni, family law attorney specializing in divorce. I would say if you've got a horror story on maybe if you're an employee and you saw your the business owner go through, how hard it was as the business went through that separation process, 852-8255. If you've got questions for me or our panel, now is the time, 852-8255. One of the things that I would say on the tax part of the equation, I had a client going through a divorce, and it was a fairly amicable divorce, which I find is typically true when the non-business owner spouse. So when the spouse of the business owner wants asks for the divorce, it's a lot more amicable than if the business owner wants the divorce. So I don't know why that is. It just seems to be. But one of the things I was talking to the attorney, the divorce attorney for this client, business owner of mine, and I was like, hey, there's some significant tax issues on this proposed marital settlement. And the attorney was like, I don't really want to even think about tax issues. And I was like, I think you have to. I mean, literally, they go through splitting hairs, valuing the business, putting every single asset on their marital balance sheet, and then all of a sudden there's a third premium or discount, depending on which side of the equation you're on, to getting tax-advantaged assets in that divorce or not. So just by way of example, if all of a sudden, let's just say for fun, your total marital estate, that's what the husband and wife own, together if they own that. And let's say it's $1 million, and let's say it's half in retirement accounts and half in a business was recently purchased. And so let's say the net book value of that business is $500,000, and it's worth $500,000, and then the retirement accounts are worth $500,000, and rational heads say, we're just going to split it. We're going to have the non-business owner spouse take the retirement accounts, and the business owner is going to take the business. How hard is that? Well, if I'm representing the non-business owner, I'm going to say, well, there's a third of the tax that they're going to have to pay the freight on, and they don't get access to that without tax and penalty for perhaps a number of years. And so you just that all enters into that equation. But a lot of times just people don't understand that all these things, both the valuation part of it, the legal part of it, and the accounting piece of it, are all intricately tied together in a business. So before the break, we're talking to Richard about how do you value a business. So remember, if you're looking at your personal financial plan, everybody that's smart and listens to this show, they know they have a marital balance sheet that says what your net worth is. You do that at least once a year, ideally quarterly, and you can value the business very easily. You can at least from a back of the envelope perspective value your assets, like how are we tracking to get to financial freedom. Richard Teichner, CPA valuation guru. How do you value the business?
Well, first of all, I have a laundry list of items that I need in order to be able to have enough information to start the valuation process.
Sure.
And many times it depends, in a divorce situation, it depends which side I'm representing. And by the way, when I say representing, I'm not an advocate for either party. My job is to be objective and to come up with a value that is credible.
Mm-hmm.
But in doing that, a lot of times I have to request information from the company or the person who's going through the divorce, who's managing the company. And if it's very contentious and we have trouble getting that information, that's when the lawyer steps in and does maybe has to go to court and get
an order.
An order. In other words, you've got to have to compel the other side to produce that information.
Yeah, and of course, the business owner on the other side of that, Richard, is thinking, I can't get my taxes filed on time, for crying out loud. Now you want me to turn stuff around right away. The information, I just don't have the infrastructure to produce the information oftentimes, right?
Yes, anyway, there's always the timing issues in divorce matters. And of course, the longer the divorce takes, the more expensive it can be.
Well, the more expensive, and oftentimes it has a significant detriment or impairment to the business itself, right?
Exactly. So the value of the business can change, and the law, from the way I understand it, is that the value of the business needs to be determined as close to the date of either a trial, if there's going to be a trial, or the date that the decree is offered. So in that case, a lot of times, if it's dragged out, you have to come in and revalue the business. You don't have to go through all the processes again, but you have to update all the information that you've received.
Yeah, so just think about your, if you're looking, you've got a Yahoo Finance account or Bloomberg account where you're tracking all your stocks, your investment portfolio, that changes every day. Well, the business changes every day as well. Maybe not as much or not as volatile, but oftentimes, you've got to update those things. But I would tell you, Richard, I say, a lot of the business owners that listen to the show, they're some are very, very large businesses, some are smaller. You gather a lot of information, but it seems like, I guess my experience has been most valuations end up becoming, some derivative of some multiple of what the business makes. The more it makes, the more it's worth. Is that a fair statement?
Pretty much, yeah. Especially for what we call a small family business, it's usually a multiple of income. There's other methods that you can use. You look at comparables like you do with real estate, where you look at comparables. So
if you got a McDonald's franchise, you may or may not be making money, but there's a certain intrinsic value to a McDonald's franchise, is kind of what you're saying.
Right. And, I have, and other evaluators such as myself, have a lot of data sources for M&A transactions so that we can look at other transactions where there's similar characteristics of those businesses,
right,
and use that also as a measurement for coming up with a value.
Right.
But normally, it's more often than not, the overriding methodology is taking a multiple of earnings. And when I say earnings, it's usually, in divorce matters, it's usually past earnings. If you can forecast earnings, great, but you have to make a lot of assumptions.
Right,
You have to make a lot of assumptions. So normally it's based on past earnings, but you adjust those past earnings for what the current situation is.
So Gloria, if you're a business owner, right, and you're contemplating divorce and you just had a terrible year,
now's the time.
Now's the time, right? If you're the spouse of a business owner and you just had a banner year.
And generally, you know, it's a 5 years worth of returns we're looking at. So
right.
If we had a really good year back a few years, do we reevaluate it while we're in the divorce if it takes a long time and then that year's going to drop off?
Right.
Sometimes litigation starts while we're in the middle, like a construction defect case.
You're not uncertain. It might have a significant negative outcome that could significantly impair that business. So common, again, we're kind of doing everything that business owners and their spouse needs to know about divorce, what you can and can't do, how the system works. 852-8255. If you've got questions, thoughts, or comments, phone lines are open. So one of the things that never ceases to amaze me is how time flies on this show. So one of the things I want to do is I want to talk about the concept of can a business owner tank the value of their business and have it perform poorly? What safeguards are there or not? And then how alimony works for the non-employed spouse. So when you come back, 852-8255, it's Bosma on Business. News Talk 780 KOH. Your host, Mike Bosma, in studio, Richard Teichner, from, CPA and valuation expert, and Gloria Petroni. Petroni Law Group, our family matters expert. The idea before the break was, can you tank the value of the business? And so one of the things I guess I would say first anecdotally is the longer the marital strife continues, whether or not you're in divorce or not, but the longer the marital strife continues and the longer the divorce takes, the less the lower the business value. It has a linear relationship to the value of the business because the owner basically is, and I would say this is true for all litigation. You get sued, you're going through product or warranty defect, something along those lines. Your focus isn't on the business. It's on that lawsuit, and so something different changes in your mind when you get a subpoena, you can't focus on your business anymore. Your every waking hour is literally consumed with this litigation. And so, but the question was, can somebody kind of intentionally, keep their eye off the prize, as you will? Gloria, what are your thoughts on that?
I see individuals do some crazy things. They start creating a lot of LLCs if they're divorce planning. They buy a bunch of new equipment. They bring on superfluous employees.
All right, hire a bunch of people because it's just going to tank cash flow, right?
So there is a certain amount of planning that can be done that it might be difficult for a CPA to really determine that those were unreasonable moves.
Right, right. Yeah, and on the other hand, is it fair to, have a business owner continue to, crank and, be at peak performance, when they're kind of going through this valley, kind of hard event. It's just like I said, there's just a cause and effect relationship between the more time you're away from your business, the less the business is going to be worth. I mean, Richard, as a valuation expert, what do you look for to kind of see, trends or see if there's some monkey business going on in the business?
Well, you look at historical information, then you look at if a business is in a particular industry, you look at the industry statistics to see if actually that industry has had an upturn versus the business that shows a downturn. And then if that's the case, you look at the underlying records to see if that downturn was legitimate or just merely divorce planning that was done. Because many times, and we've seen this in contentious divorces very often, where as soon as the parties – start to talk about divorce, the person who's operating the business somehow, you know, his business starts to, his or her business starts to show a downturn in income, increase in expenses, and you hear a sob story. And this is not uncommon, especially in the types of divorces that we handle, because normally we get involved in divorces where they're pretty contentious. At least
right.
I do.
Yeah, when you start to hire, when you hire experts, it's everybody's not singing kumbaya around the fire, the fire ring, right? So, so Gloria, I want to real quick alimony. So how does, you know, how does alimony work with a, you know, so for the non-business owner spouse, how does alimony work? How do you determine how much alimony and how long is it?
You're going to look at the length of the marriage and the income earning ability of both of the spouses. It's usually easier to determine a person who's just a wage earner getting a W-2 as opposed to someone who's a business owner. And part of what I'm asking the expert to do is please calculate all the add backs, all the perks, the car, the entertainment, everything that truly I think might be personal, and adjust that upwards so I get a higher compensation rate for that business owner. And then I'm going to take that to the judge and say, this is what he says he makes. This is what he makes with all the business perks. And this is what I want alimony to be, use that as a baseline.
Right. And so, so let's say, you know, common example, I think, is you had the business owner, let's just say, I don't want to stereotype, but we'll stereotype, business owner guy, wife stays home, 20-year marriage, right? Wife stays home, raises the kids, kids fly the coop, wife looks across the dinner table at the business owner, husband, and like, I don't think I want to be married to you anymore. Files for divorce. She's never worked, or not in the foreseeable future, or has in the past, in the foreseeable past, worked or made a living, but definitely there's a skill set and a value, and now, particularly now the kids are gone, she's got the capacity to earn money. How does that enter into this equation?
Oftentimes we have someone evaluate her if she hasn't been working, a vocational rehabilitation expert, to determine what she truly can make. There's some testing involved, and they see what she might make, so then they impute that income to her. And then if she's stayed out of the workforce during the entire 20-year marriage, she might be getting 10 years worth of alimony. Where she works some, then it might be a third of the duration of the marriage.
So roughly 50% of the duration of the marriage, and that when you call it vocational rehabilitation, there's maybe a series, some time for higher alimony, but then that's going to step down towards the end of that 10 years to, you know, go back, get retool, right? Like, and maybe to say, hey, I'm going to go back to school. Go get an accounting degree. We need more accountants out there. We need more valuation experts. But you can do that, you know, especially now people are living longer. You know, it used to be as, so let's just say my hypothetical example, you know, you've been married 20 years, you're 50 years old, but you probably got 30 years of life left in you, you know, especially if you're as healthy as Gloria is. So, but that's like, hey, you go to school, you got a whole career ahead of you. And so I think a lot of times, there's this inflection point that I just see that, and I see a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of heartbreak in that time where, you know, the kids are moving out of the house, and then the business owner and their spouse are looking like, okay, well, the business owner spent the last 20 years building a business, and he wants to work less, and the wife is saying, well, if he wants to work less, that means he's going to be around here more, and I don't necessarily like him. So, or now we've got it's going to be a big change, because now you're going to spend a lot more time together, and like, well, gosh, do we have the same interests and all those things? And so I think a common question that I hear is, how does alimony work? So it's like, okay, half the time of the marriage, how is it kept? But arithmetically, how do you determine how much somebody's entitled to? Richard?
Well, no, what I normally do is I will look, first of all, if we're talking about there's a business that's valued, then you normally impute a certain amount of compensation to come up with the value. In other words, the owner of the business, a small business, can decide how much compensation they want to take, and whatever is left after that compensation is the bottom line, is the net income.
Right.
And so you need to first adjust the compensation, what a reasonable compensation amount is, to come up with a proper net income to use right. as a value. And that amount of imputed compensation many times is the basis for determining alimony. And then, of course, you take into account what the other spouse earns, if anything, and then you look at it globally or together mm-hmm. and then determine. I do different scenarios. You know, maybe the spouse who's going to be receiving alimony gets 30% of the total or 40% right. of the total, whatever it is. I'll do these different scenarios. It's up to the two parties to either agree or for the court to decide how much alimony to award. But
right, so 30 to 40% of the total income between the two spouses is probably, I guess that's what I've understood too. So, you know, in round numbers, let's call it a third and say, okay, you know, so you can say one third, two thirds, right?
Right. And as Gloria said, the spouse who hasn't worked all these years, the compensation needs to be imputed. And normally, if that's a major issue, then you do hire a voc and rehab consultant to determine what that person can go out and make. And if it's going to take some time to train them, then there's, I think you mentioned, this rehabilitation alimony during that period of time. And once they start working and making money, then the amount of alimony goes down.
Right, and so that's where this trending down, and I think that's again, and from a business owner perspective, know that the alimony is deductible, but you can't play too many games with it. If you front load alimony, you could end up having some smoothing of that alimony over the years. So you can't get too cute. Talk to your CPA about that. But one of the things that I'll tell you is, just be, you know, as I've helped, really both sides of the equation, you know, either business owner or the spouse understand it, is there's going to be a, you know, one third, two third split of what kind of what the income is. But there's, you know, oftentimes if you're the sole owner of a business, there's a lot of tax planning that we do to determine what your salary is. But no, Richard, you mentioned it. We're going to figure out kind of what your salary should be based on a salary survey. And then that's going to be, the difference between that one third, two third, or half the period of the marriage is general rule. And then you're going to say, okay, then you have a new recalibrated amount that business is making, and then you're going to capitalize that to some multiple of that number, and that's going to be what the business is worth. The business owner obviously wants it. Of course, I know many business owner that would say, I would gladly, you know, when you come up with that value, I would gladly sell this business today for that. you can have the business spouse. I'll go back to work, you know, because sometimes it's not worth what the math is, you know, for the specific business that you're in.
Well, exactly. One of the things that comes up once in a while, too, I think it's important to mention, is that if a business was in operation at the time of the marriage, and then the divorce occurs, the value of the business at the time of the marriage has to be determined, because it's only the increase, if there is an increase in the value from the time of marriage to the time of divorce, then that it's only that increase that is community property.
Right.
Okay, and that sometimes is a complication.
Right. Well, yeah, and that's what I was talking to a gentleman yesterday, and he was a business owner, contractor, and he's just like, talking about what we're going to talk about on the show today, and he's like, well, gosh, doesn't she have half of everything? I go, well, yeah, that's true. But does she know that? That was my thing, is, and it's like, because oftentimes, I'm telling you, especially the non-business owner spouse, they just don't know what their rights are, and that creates a sense of mystery or unease in that relationship. And I'm just a big fan. I was like, tell people, if you get a, you've been in my early example, you got married when you're 30, you didn't really have anything. Now you've got a business that's worth some money. Your kids are getting ready to fly the coop, and you're like, do a postnuptial. Just at least talk about it, and whether or not you get it reduced to writing or not, just have a discussion to say, hey, if we had to pull this thing apart, what is everybody's rights in this thing? How does it work? So that people can make not only informed decisions, but I'm really seeing that more so people know. You know, knowledge is power. And if you've got this kind of sense, if you're a business owner, it's like, man, I can't recover from this financial setback. It's just going to unfortunately taint your perspective of staying in that relationship. And oftentimes you just become bitter, you know. What do you think, Rich?
Well, you touched on something. I think you mentioned postnuptial, but if somebody comes into a marriage and has a lot of assets, and including a business, then you can determine what the value of all those assets are as of the time you get married, and that establishes. And Gloria, she's the attorney on this, but this is a legal issue. But you've now set the stage as to what the value of the assets are going into the marriage. Mm-hmm. And then when if a divorce ever occurs, you know what you started out with,
right?
And what was separate property at the time you got married.
No, very, very true. And that's what it's called, a prenuptial, right? And
exactly.
So it's just basically, and I've said on the show numerous times, if you get into business with somebody, you need to decide how you're going to dissolve or pull that business apart. Should you not be able to be able to have that business as partners? And it really is the same issue in any relationship, but particularly a marriage relationship. If you can't negotiate the exit, you know, if this thing, you know, we get married, I'm recently married, I am the most blessed man on this planet, Gloria, you've seen the change. Very, very blessed. Well, you just got to have the hard discussions on the front end. If you can't have the hard discussions, do you have the trust and intimacy truly in a relationship to get into a deeper relationship via marriage? And so I'm a big fan of business owners. You know, I'm your biggest advocate. You know, you begin with the end in mind. So if something happens, you just got to, you know, how does it work? 852-8255 for this last segment if you got a quick question. Otherwise, we're going to say the number one thing if you own a business and you're married when we come back. It's Bosma on Business. News Talk 780 KOH. Welcome back to Bosma on Business. Your host, Mike Bosma. Great, great content. I'll tell you, this is going to be on bosmabusiness.com. Other content that's there, it's searchable now, so a little functionality that we added to that. So if you've got some questions or want to get insight, you can search that for our podcasts that are all archived there in studio. Gloria Petroni, principal at Petroni Law Group, and our valuation expert in the house, Richard Teichner, Teichner Accounting Forensics and Valuations. So we covered a lot this show. I really appreciate both of you sharing. We leave our listeners with the number one thing. So, you know, you're in business and you're married. What's the number one thing needs to be on your what? That's okay. So anyway, what's the number one thing that you got to think about? Gloria, why don't you hit us?
I would approach the non-business spouse with a buy-sell agreement as I would any partner looking at an exit, and I would recommend that spouse has independent counsel or it just may not stand up.
Well, actually, that's a great point. So, you say, hey, what we're going to do is we may not do the post-nuptial. We're not going to talk about how how we're going to divide all of our assets, but we're going to at least talk about how this business is going to be valued, so that, and you get your own counsel, but so that we agree this is kind of how this thing works. You know, again, you know, it's just the uncertainty, and these things go for years potentially. It's like we're just going to agree on what that is, and if we need to get our own experts to go through this, but the best time to do that is when you're getting along with your spouse. Right, it's not when you guys are all of a sudden at each other, right? It's like, no, we both want what's best for us in this healthy relationship, and you just don't want that cloud over the top of it, and so you just can't clear it up. So, Richard, number one thing.
Well, again, most small businesses have issues with their accounting system, the way they keep books. Gloria mentioned about perks and things of that nature. I think the most important thing is for the business owner to report their income properly on their tax return, not to go overboard with deductions that really are not you know, could be challenged because, and a lot of times the CPAs who prepare the returns, they don't do an audit. They're not there to do an audit. They're just there to take the books and records. If things look reasonable, then they'll go ahead and do the tax return. But I have found many times where there's items in the expenses that are really personal expenses that should not be in there, and I have to add those back when I do the valuation. So, you know, my recommendation is to be forthright, honest, right, and keep good records.
Well, and you know, I'll tell you and I'll just chime in on that for my number one thing, which is understand the difference between generally accepted accounting principles and tax. Those are two different bodies of law. Tax is a fiction made up by our legislators. Generally accepted accounting principles is how all the accountants have decided how to calculate income and value and use that. And many tax returns are reported on a tax basis. And so think of it this way. So you know, you're in a professional services firm and you start your business in December, and you know, let's say you got $10,000 in billings in December, but it's not paid until January. Well, how much did you make in December? You made $10,000, although your tax return is going to show zero. Big, big swings. I had a valuation person in here that said, oh, you can value off a tax return. I'm like, you're incompetent. I mean, it was terrible because I'm like, you don't understand that this tax accounting is a fiction. It just is. Now, granted, there's a correlation, Richard, you know this, you know, that they're two are tied together, but you're like, you have to adjust to see what's really going on. I had a valuation done with a client, and the valuation person, they use the tax returns. And I said, well, we have financial statements. We know what those are. And it was like a $250,000 swing in value, you know, just kind of how the numbers percolated out. And it made a lot more sense because tax go up and down depending on kind of do we want to accelerate deductions or not, or do we want to accelerate income or not. We have the ability to do that under cash basis accounting. Accrual, it's, you know, it's like when was that revenue earned, and there's, you know, matching principles, cut off for expenses, all that kind of stuff. So it's like, ye gods. But yeah, no, I'd say understand the difference between GAAP and tax accounting so that you have clarity on what you're really making. And of course, I don't say that only in the context of divorce. I say it in running your business. You know, I'm a big fan of helping business owners be amazingly successful. And you got to know what your business is really doing. And it's really, 9 times out of 10, it's GAAP, it's not tax accounting. So very, very excited. Next week, you're going to hear from Curtis DeBoard of U.S. Ordnance. He's going to share kind of what it's like to be doing business with the Middle East, our U.S. government, which is harder to deal with, and how the banking is impacted by all of it. You're going to want to make sure you tune in next week. Of course, if you need some help, get that second opinion on your tax return. It's 786-4900. You get free one-hour consultations of me and my advisors, kind of make your business as awesome as it can be. My mantra in life. So again, thank you for tuning in. Go to our podcast at BosmaOnBusiness.com to catch this and other shows. Your host, Mike Bosma, signing out. Till next week, it's Bosma on Business. News Talk 780 KOH.